What if the president sued the federal government, then settled the case, and as part of that settlement, created a $1.7 billion fund controlled by his own administration, with final oversight being by President Trump himself? That's exactly what's happening with Trump's anti-weaponization fund. Supporters say it is justice for Americans targeted by politically motivated investigations. Critics say it is a dangerous precedent, one with no judicial oversight. And depending on how this works, it will become one of the most controversial legal settlements in modern American history. I am Doree Smith. This is the Journalism of Everything. On January 29th, 2026, in Trump's favorite legal district, the Southern District of Florida, President Donald J. Trump, his sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, and the Trump Organization, LLC, sued the IRS and the Treasury Department for unlawfully targeting the Trump and improperly disclosing his tax records. Former IRS contractor Charles Littlejohn admitted to leaking Trump's tax records to the media. Trump also argued that the 2022 raid on Mar-a-Lago, investigations tied to the Russian collusion in 2016, Biden's use of the FACE Act, that his parents were accused of being domestic terrorists, and that conservative groups were unfairly targeted by IRS investigators prove that Biden's government had a vendetta against him. This lawsuit wasn't just about tax returns. It became a sweeping legal and political argument about whether federal power had been used against political opponents. Ironic, isn't it, that a president used retribution against political opponents as a central rhetoric in his 2024 presidential campaign, is upset that others have gone after him, at least in his own estimation. The settlement itself is unusual. The federal government was ordered to formally apologize to President Trump, his sons, and his organization. He does not receive directly monetary compensation. What did happen, though, is the creation of the Anti-Weaponization Fund. The Anti-Weaponization Fund is a $1.7 billion slush fund to compensate anyone who believes they were harmed by the Biden administration. The fund will be overseen by five members, one of which is appointed by Congress, and the rest are appointed by acting attorney general and former Trump personal lawyer, Todd Blanche. The president has ultimate authority over the fund members and can remove any member at any time for any reason. The fund has the authority to create its own procedures, receive and investigate claims, and approve or deny compensation, which can include damages, attorney's fees, compensation for prison time served, legal costs, and any other harms deemed to be, as they quoted, lawfare and weaponization. While the $1.7 billion fund is concerning because it's being paid for by the American taxpayer, who is in the midst of the highest gas prices of modern times and unprecedented cuts to Medicaid and Medicare and very high inflation. The biggest criticism from politicians is the blatant lack of oversight. Legal critics point out that unlike many large compensation settlements, this fund appears to have limited judicial supervision. In congressional hearings on May 18th, 2026, Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche repeatedly cited the Obama administration legal case, Keepsiegel versus Vilsack, as the legal precedent for creating this fund. This was a case that involved Native American farmers who alleged discrimination by the USDA. In a nutshell, Keepsiegel versus Vilsack was a major class action lawsuit against the USDA alleging that Native American farmers and ranchers were systematically discriminated against in federal loan programs all the way back to at least the 1980s. In 2010, under the Obama administration, the federal government agreed to a historical settlement worth about $760 million, $680 million of which were for damages. But critics say there is a major difference. Keepsiegel involved substantial judicial oversight and court supervision.
You referenced a previous case. I think it was Keepsiegel versus Vilsack under the previous administration. Did that case involve a president suing his own government and then settling that case before it could be reviewed or approved by a judge?
So no, neither does the commission.
It did not. And so when you suggested that they're nearly identical, they're not identical. I think there's a critical difference here. President Trump is the first president to sue his own government and then direct his chosen acting attorney general to reach this kind of settlement.
It created a slew of oversight, including oversight mechanisms, advisory councils, reporting requirements, and here's the key, court-supervised claims procedures. The judge in charge of oversight was Judge Emmett Sullivan, who is a universally respected federal judge appointed at different times in his career by both political parties, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and then Bill Clinton. The Anti-Weaponization Fund largely leaves decisions to appointees connected to the executive branch itself. And opponents... And because the president can remove members at will, opponents say the structure creates concerns about political loyalty and favoritism. And unfortunately, President Trump has proven over and over that he uses his power for his own interests and the interests of his friends. This is undeniable. And then there's another detail that critics are zeroing in on. If money remains in the fund after December 1st, 2028, the president is the one who decides where the remaining funds go within the federal government. That clause has raised concerns about executive power, especially because future administrations could potentially use similar frameworks for entirely different political purposes. If you are going to compare this precedent to Keepsiegel, as the Trump administration continues to do, there was leftover money with Keepsiegel. Some of that money went to successful claimants, and then the rest went to nonprofits, including $266 million to the Native American Agriculture Fund. Supporters of this settlement say this is long overdue. They argue that Americans have been financially and personally destroyed by politically motivated prosecutions, investigations, and federal actions. From their perspective, this fund creates a pathway for restitution. And of course, the concern is that January 6th rioters who attacked police officers at the Capitol will get some of these funds.
During police week, I heard from a number of law enforcement friends who found it appalling that there was the possibility that folks like the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys who had assaulted Capitol police officers could receive multi-million dollar payouts from this fund. Will you commit that no one who has been convicted of assaulting a police officer will receive a payout from this fund?
So I shared the concerns that apparently members of law enforcement gave to you last week, although none of this was announced last week, so that's surprising. But
they had heard rumors that there would be a settlement fund.
Okay. But anybody can apply. The commission will set, the commissioners will set rules, I'm sure. That's not for me to set. That's for the commissioners. And whether an individual, an Oath Keeper, as you just mentioned, applies for compensation, is anybody in this country can apply.
Critics see something very different. They worry that it normalizes the idea that presidents can't create compensation systems tied to political grievances while maintaining influence over who gets paid. And underneath all of this is a deeper question. When does accountability become weaponization? And who gets to decide? The Anti-Weaponization Fund may end up becoming one of the most important legal and political stories of Trump's second presidency. Because depending on your perspective, it's either a historic correction to government abuse or a dangerous expansion of presidential influence. But either way, the precedent could last long after Trump leaves office.
Senator,
do you commit to pursuing investigations free of prejudice about party affiliation?
Of course, yes.
Well, you say of course, but this enemy has repeatedly, this president has repeatedly spoken of an enemies list that he wants to go after. And I must say, it's one of the symbols of the breakdown of a democratic republic when a president uses his Department of Justice, which you now head, to go after his perceived political enemies. I hope you won't be party to that. Thank you.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why what happened during the Biden administration was so disgusting.
That is completely inappropriate and wrong. There is no comparison to the absolute fair-minded pursuit of justice under the previous administration and this administration's pursuit of an enemies list. Thank you.
Ask yourself this question. Would I be okay with anyone, regardless of political party, having this kind of power? This is the Journalism of Everything. I'm Doree Smith, an independent journalist. Let me know what you think in the comments. Is this justice, or does it open the door to political compensation controlled by the executive branch?